In the most holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, at the outset of this sermon, I guess I should have you be ready, because it'll be somewhat interactive. And I ask you to have in your hands the Book of Common Prayer and turn to page 858. The celebration of the baptism of the Lord is traditionally time to contemplate both Jesus' baptism and our own. To be sure, both are mysteries as we contemplate the incarnation of our Lord himself. In this sermon, what I'd like to do is briefly draw upon the readings as they relate to Jesus' baptism and our inheritance through his act of saving grace. And as well, we will revisit our tradition's understanding of what the sacrament means. Well, we just finished celebrating Jesus' birth just a few days ago, and here we are, 30 years later, at his baptism. We really don't know all that much, really, what transpired in these 3 decades of his life. We do know some through the stories, but not that much. And here we are, present at his baptism. And it's the one that John is really reluctant to administer. He doesn't feel worthy enough to do it. John sees himself totally not fit to perform this ritual for the one he's talked about and prepared in his coming. Yet to do this is an act of submission to God and obedience to God. John participates in God's unfolding purpose for Jesus, while at the same time he's testifying to the coming of God's kingdom. We know that Jesus was without sin, so the usual indication for baptism is certainly not necessary on his account. It's not necessary. But by entering this water, Jesus didn't seek his own repentance. He wasn't looking to be forgiven, for he had nothing to repent. Instead, he offered himself as the answer to John's call for all people to repent and to turn towards God. You may remember a word that I've used previously called metanoia, a turning to God. For John to do this for Jesus is an act of discipleship, and it helps to set right the relationship of the God who affirms his son, Jesus, as his son, the beloved in whom he is well pleased. Well, in my pondering through these scriptures that we read this morning, the word righteousness continued to make itself present to me. It kept bubbling up and popping up. And in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is baptized by John in order to fulfill all righteousness. This is quoted in Matthew 3:15. And this signifies Jesus, his full identification with people in their need. So Jesus is coming for our needs. And he came to draw us to God by becoming fully human, taking on our identity. So we know Jesus as fully human and fully divine, not a half and half combination like my coffee prep, but fully divine while at the same time being fully human. Righteousness with respect to humans describes appropriate behavior and attitude towards others. Essentially, righteousness acts build community relationships, and unrighteous actions can destroy it. So we look to Jesus as our model of perfection. Jesus' ministry is blessed, as we've heard this morning, and we know with divine approval. We are present to the prophet Isaiah, who describes the character of Jesus forthcoming that he's not met as the servant in whom the Spirit will be upon. He describes this character of an upcoming prophet, the Messiah, and he's foretelling this majesty and justice which will occur. New things are being declared. In our psalm today, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the symbol of water is the central component we know of our baptism. So as we hear the readings today and contemplate how Jesus himself was among God's humanity, we can reflect on our own baptism. And being apostolic members in our Christian heritage, it is a witness of our baptismal vows before God, family, and community. After this, we will affirm our vows, and I ask you, what does this mean to you? Can you hear and internalize, as Jesus did, God's unconditional love for you? For a lot of people, this is a very difficult thing, but it is God's intention for you, his unconditional love. Do you recognize all who surround you and surrounded you at your baptism, and who surround you now with reaffirmation as we witness and become co-heirs of life in Christ? As well, do you understand that we have an outline of faith in our prayer book? It's called the Catechism. Some may know this, some may never have really looked at these pages. And so this is why I asked you to open our prayer book so that we can explain the baptism of the sacrament of baptism in this way. There's 6 questions. So I'll read the questions and then we'll all answer together. And in this way, this is my opportunity for formation for people who are to be baptized and who never have been through this series of questions. So the first question, what is holy baptism? We'll all read together. Holy baptism is a sacrament by which God adopts us as his children and makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God. What is the outward and visible sign of baptism? The outward and visible sign in baptism is water, in which the person is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is the inward and spiritual grace in baptism? The inward and spiritual grace in baptism is union with Christ in his death and resurrection, birth into God's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and new life in the Holy Spirit. What is required of us at baptism? It is required that we renounce Satan, repent of our sins, and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So why then are infants baptized? Infants are baptized in order to share in the citizenship of the covenant, members in Christ, and redemption by God. How are the promises for infants made and carried out? Promises are made for them by their parents and sponsors, who guarantee that the infants will be brought up in the church to know Christ and to be able to follow him. Thank you for my indulgence to go through this with you. I think it's really important that we know our prayer book intimately and well, and this was an opportunity to do that. One thing as I was pondering this, and what is not clarified in our catechism, is the role of the assembled community, and this is very important to talk about. Those gathered, the community become a central symbol of baptism. We don't come to God by ourselves. The baptismal waters are our birth into the family of God. I know there's films that depict Jesus who plunged himself into a large field of many, many people that were gathered to be baptized. And it wasn't a random collection of people, as we've said. The gathering that's called together, there's a Greek word for this, and it's called ecclesia. God gathers us joined to Christ for this special purpose. We gather as witnesses through our own faith and promise to support the baptized by entering community, sharing faith, and also bearing faith to others. So without the community of faith, this can be reduced, and many people get this wrong, that aren't regular, I would say regular attendance at church, it becomes reduced to a privatized and individualistic form of religious behavior that is very contrary to our entire tradition. As well, it's important to recognize a larger unseen group which is in the community, which is the community of saints. And the community of saints extends beyond our immediate time and place. It's the people that have gone before throughout the world and all of those who are yet to come. Living in our world is a very complex thing, and Jesus knows that. Participation in Christ by acquiring the mind of Christ is our consent to the Spirit that we've received at baptism. And to see Christ in our day is to see him present in those who confront us with their needs, the hungry, the naked, the homeless, the sick, and those who are in prison. This participation in Christ is our yes, and we strive to live faithfully to that relationship which is the Trinity. Through words, sacraments, and life together in the Spirit, we are informed in our daily lives to carry out in our particular experience, in our very present time, the acts of charity and compassion which alleviate suffering. In witness to Christ's holy baptism, and in witness to our identity with him and in him, may we offer thanks to God in a prayer for the mission of the Church. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to yourself. We praise and bless you for those whom you have sent in the power of the Spirit to preach the gospel to all nations. We thank you that in all parts of the earth, a community of love has been gathered together by their prayers and labors, and that in every place, your servants call upon your name, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.